Well, Churchill said that democracy is the worst form of government, except for all the others. Ha! Warts and all, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is the best thing going for bold Book of Concord Lutheranism.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking about his presentation at the 2026 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The scriptures are actually true. We confess the ancient Catholic faith. We're the truest of evangelicals. The gospel alone saves. We are not a sect. God's saving acts are still going on in preaching of the word, absolution, baptism, body and blood of Christ, all for forgiveness. From all this comes peace of conscience, joy, and eternal hope. The LCMS is a global force, and I'm going to make the case for it.
You can meet and hear Pastor Matt Harrison making the case for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod at this year's Making the Case Conference, June 12th and 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. For our God. Alleluia.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, through the resurrection of your Son, you have secured peace for our troubled consciences. Grant us this peace evermore, that trusting in the merit of your Son, we may come at last to the perfect peace of heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Our first reading is from Acts chapter 13. Brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize him, nor understand the utterances of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled them by condemning him. Though they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. We bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, that he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus, as also it was written in the second Psalm. You are my son, today I have begotten you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. As the disciples were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do you doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." When he had said this, he showed him his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said, "See my hands and my feet, that I am myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Dear Christian friends, the church doesn't tell ghost stories. But in the world, ghost stories abound. In my town where I serve as pastor, one of the premier destinations for Halloween is a haunted mansion. And which large city in America doesn't have elaborate ghost tours on offer to paying customers who want to be spooked? It's not like ghost stories are anything new. In the Iliad and in the Odyssey, Homer writes about the shades that wander around the underworld of Hades, restless and discontent, wishing that they were back alive again on Earth. In Hamlet, the ghost of Hamlet's father returns to his son to complain of his murder by Claudius. Homer, Shakespeare, Charles Dickens, the world is full of ghost stories, and always has been. In fact, you don't even have to be particularly religious to believe in the presence of ghosts or spirits or life after death in some form. Just listen to the way people talk. Our friend George has died, but his spirit lives on in our hearts and in our memories. George is with us in spirit. All of this is just to say that if Easter was just another ghost story, it wouldn't be anything special. The world has always told ghost stories, but this is more. The one who meets his disciples that Easter evening is more than a ghost. This is the Son of God, who is incarnate in flesh and blood, who is crucified in flesh and blood, who was risen on the third day in flesh and blood, now returning to his disciples in flesh and blood. He returns to them as a man, as one of us, as the God-man in one person. In fact, if you look closely at the Greek, verse 39, Jesus literally says, "See my hands and my feet, that I am myself." That's the divine nature and the human nature in one person. This is Sinai's God, who once spoke to Moses in the burning bush, but now with hands and feet. And so he comes back to his church on Easter in the flesh to show his church how he will always be with us in the flesh. Some churches teach that Jesus is no longer present with his church, that at the ascension, he ascended into heaven bodily to sit at the right hand of God, and that's where his body is, circumscribed there in some distant heaven, spatially removed from earth. And so, if they speak of Christ being present with his church at all, they speak of merely his spiritual presence, or Jesus being present according to his divine nature alone. Well, this is just another ghost story. This extra Calvinisticum, this Calvinistic outside, the doctrine, false doctrine, that Christ can be, that his divine nature can be somehow outside of or apart from his human nature, as if the spirit of Jesus can be where his body isn't. You know why that's wrong. That denies the personal union of the two natures of Christ. That denies the incarnation. And what God has joined together, let not theologians separate. And even more, that false doctrine is just not supported by the Holy Scriptures, because every time the Lord Jesus appears to his disciples after Easter, he appears to them in his flesh, as the God-man, as one of us. He eats fish in front of them today, not because he is hungry, but because he wants to prove to them the presence of his living body. He not only preaches to them and catechizes them and preaches to them peace, he invites them to touch him, to handle his risen body, to behold his flesh, and he eats with them. In fact, the Lord Jesus is always eating with his disciples after Easter. Do you notice that? And for this reason, to show them that wherever his word is, there is his flesh. And wherever his flesh is, there is the word. And also to comfort you and me with the promise that Christ will not be with his church, not just in spirit, not as a ghost, but in his body. The same is true for us today. It is good that we have a crucifix on the altar, just as it is good that our churches have a crucifix on their altars, because it reminds us and shows us that we have gathered in the presence of the crucified one, that Jesus hasn't ghosted us, he hasn't left the building, but that the Word, the Son of God, is with us in his flesh and blood. Consider how Easter is not just the event of the resurrection. It includes the 40-day post-resurrection appearances of our Lord to his disciples, because an empty tomb is not enough. If Christ doesn't return to his disciples after Easter in preaching and in teaching and with his body to behold and receive, then they cannot believe. And is it any different for you and me? We believe in the sacraments. We confess the bodily presence of Jesus Christ in the sacrament of the altar. If the risen Jesus can come to his disciples where they are in his body, no longer bound to time and space, no longer confined behind locked doors or closed graves, then he can come to you wherever you are gathered, giving you his flesh as true food and his blood as true drink. In today's gospel reading, Jesus comes to his disciples in flesh and blood, and they believe, and they rejoice. No ghost story. And in this Holy Supper today, he brings that very flesh and blood to you and to me. And so we believe, and we rejoice. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
God.
Rejoicing in the victory over death and the grave, let us make our appeal to our Heavenly Father in the power of the Spirit for the sake of our crucified and risen Lord. Father in heaven, you raised your Son Jesus from the dead as the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Fill all your baptized people with the joy of his victory, that we may live in the freedom that he has won for us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Bountiful giver of all things, your Son has prepared a feast of forgiveness and life for his people. As we approach his altar this day, grant us a faithful share in his unending life. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
King of the nations, remember in your kindness all who bear authority in this world, and give them wisdom and integrity, that they may guard the well-being of all people. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Rock of refuge in every time of need, hear the prayers of those who call upon you in their distress, including the lonely and homebound, the sick and dying, and all who suffer from mental illness. Grant that your Son may ever be for them their joy in sorrow, their health in sickness, and their comfort in times of despair. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of all compassion, you raised your Son from the dead and glorified him. Enliven our hope in you and bring us with all your saints, whose deaths are precious in your sight, to your perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Seeking the things that are above, we entrust our prayers to God the Father through Christ, our Passover, from death to life, in the life-giving Spirit, one God, who reigns over all creation forever and ever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places Give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
You take away our sin.
The holy body and precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the holy supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.